But he unfortunately sat next to someone who tested positive for COVID. And so on Thursday, he got tested and he's not here. And so he asked me if I would do this. And I was glad to do it because 3 weeks ago on Saturday, there was a flurry of phone calls, text messages between Chris and myself, Chris with a K, who doesn't have a birthday this week. It was the day that Sonny went to be with the Lord. And Chris was scheduled to speak the following day. And I told him, don't worry about it. Someone will speak. And so I came home and sat down at the computer and looked and said, oh, Lord, what do I speak on? And, you know, it was really a blessing that day because the Lord gave me a message really quickly, probably one of the quickest outlines in my mind of a message I've ever had. So the grace of God was on me that day. But later in the day, it was decided that I would not speak the next morning and that we would have the memory time for Sonny. And at first, I kind of, you know how it is. But it was such a blessed time when we sat here in this room and remembered our friend and our brother, Sonny. When I responded back to the elders, I told them, well, we'll just save this for another time. I'm sure it'll come up again. And little did I know that on Thursday, I got the notice. And what was really interesting is 3 weeks ago, I had time to do a message, and I haven't had as much time in the last couple of days. So this is a warmed over message of a message that I didn't do, that I wanted to do, but God wanted it today. And I don't know if you noticed, well, those of you who are in the remembrance meeting, the first topic that we talked about was what?
Grace.
We're going to see a lot of grace in a message today. And as I sat there in remembrance meeting, there was a thrill in my heart to feel the movement of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know why God gave me this message 3 weeks ago that I didn't get to give 3 weeks ago that I get to do today. I don't know why at the beginning of the remembrance meeting, the first thought and a continuing thought that went through that whole meeting was the grace of God, God's grace. It's a powerful thing, but here in Psalm 40, we're going to see it. We're going to see it in David. You know, God hears our hearts, doesn't he? It says in verse 1 of chapter 40 of Psalms, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his to me and heard my cry. God's timing, our timing, doesn't always sync well together, does it? No, it doesn't. David says here that I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, as I read that and as I thought about that, it really struck me in my lack of trust, my lack of confidence in my God. Because, see, by nature, I'm not a very patient person, especially when I want God to do something. I can be rather impatient. God, I need this. God, do this. And all of that is an evidence of lack of faith, is it not? We're going to see later in the psalm how David realized that God was in control of his life, not himself. God is in control of every life here. Your heart is beating today because God has willed it to be so. God is in control. God has also given us free will. And those things also don't sink. It says he inclined to me. You know, God looked down to man. He inclined his eyes downward. He took notice of what was beneath him. And it says what? He heard my cry. He heard my cry. Do you think that ever a time that you've ever prayed to God that God didn't hear you? I've felt that before. I think everyone who's prayed for anything, if they're honest, would say, I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. But you know, seeing and feeling doesn't necessitate that it didn't happen. Because God in his infinite wisdom, again, is in control. But the promise of God, we heard about the promises of God a couple weeks ago. A promise of God is that he inclines to us. He hears our cry. He determines the outcome, not my desires. If my desires would have been heeded by God, this world would be very different. I talked to someone once that said if that person were God, there would be no one alive, because if that person were God, they would have just zapped everybody. But no, we're very selfish, we're very controlling, we're very a lot of things. But here it says, I waited patiently, and he inclined. And what did he do? Here, verse 2, grace. This is pure grace. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Have you ever been in a horrible pit? Yeah, you have. It's called sin. A horrible pit. A place that's not pleasant. A place that has all kinds of not so nice things to look at. And it says, David writes, as he's talking about God's grace, out of the miry clay. Have you ever been stuck in miry clay? Yeah. When I was in the military, I was in South Korea. And on the east coast of South Korea, there's a port. It's called Incheon. It was a spot of a major battle in the Korean War. And the reason the U.S. military picked Incheon, it has the highest tides in the world. So they landed the troops. Now, if I was one of the troops, I wouldn't have appreciated this. They landed the troops when the tide was high, and then the tide went away. But it gave them some time because of the miry muck. And I saw that miry muck one time, and a friend of mine actually fell into that miry muck. And he would attest to the fact it was very dirty. It smelled of how many hundreds of years of dead fish and whatever else. But the Korean fishermen will park their boats there, and while the water's up, it goes down and it lays on the side. The tide comes back, it goes back up, and they go fish again. But it is that most unimaginable muckness. God took us out of a mucky clay worse than anything that we could have ever imagined or ever seen. So what did he do? It says, out of the miry clay. So he pulled us out. And then what did he do? He set my feet on a rock. Would that not feel good to be pulled up out of this stuff? And I know a lot of us have walked through creeks and you lost your shoe or whatever, and then you feel for something a little bit more solid, and how good it feels when you feel something solid under your feet. But it says, and set. So who set? God set. By his grace, God set his foot, his feet on a rock. And not only that, isn't the grace of God so interesting? And not only did he set his feet on a rock, he established his step. He established. So he gave him the capability of doing something that he could not do on his own. Is that not pure grace? Does that show the love of God? Then he starts talking about the results of God's grace. And that's what I'm going to spend my time. See, there's a number of things that come as a result of the grace of God. The first thing David mentions here is that a new song of praise with a proper focus. In verse 3 it says, he has put a new song in my mouth. What is a new song? You know, years ago, someone came and wanted to sing modern songs here because those were new songs, not the songs that were written in 1700, but a song written in whatever year it was that that person came and talked about a new song. The person didn't get, because I think there's six times in the psalm it talks about new song. It's not the words that we sing in a chorus or what. That's not, it can be a new song, but that's not the new song we're talking about here. The new song is the melody of our hearts, is it not? as we get up each morning under the influence and the direction of the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, He gives us a new song. We got this day in front of us. We got this week in front of us. We got this month in front of us that we can sing honor and praises to God. He's given us this new song in my mouth. And what is that song? Praise to our God. Yeah. In the morning, as we get up, should it not be one of the most major things we do in the morning is to come into the presence of God? I'm teaching a survey of basic Christianity class, and we talked about the cross this morning. It was fun. It's fun because I get to ask all the questions. But, you know, I like reflective questions. I like reflective questions in that it makes me stop, it makes me think. And so I asked the kids this morning and a couple more mature people, what should be the outcome of the gospel in your life, the meaning of the cross? What should it be? How should it reflect in your life? And the answer basically was to live a life for Christ daily, moment by moment, minute by minute. That's a new song, isn't it? You and I have the capacity with the grace of God, being directed by God, to sing a new song. And thankfully, it's a song much different than I was singing today. Caleb joked about me leading singing, and you would not want that because I cannot sing. But in heaven, I will have perfect pitch. But until then, I can still sing a new song that has perfect harmonic melody to God as I get up in the morning, as I go through my day with an attitude of praise. And not only that, as I live my life under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it says many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? I think another result that we see in Psalm 40 is in verse 4. It said, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor as such turn aside to lies. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Not just faith, but a faith that has reality, isn't it? A trust. If you have trust in something, you have confidence in something. As you're sitting in the chair, you have trust that that chair will hold you up. It will hold you up if you squirm or if you sit still or you fidget or whatever. You have trust. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust. That means that in my life, I have the confidence of God. And it says, and does not respect the proud. Who are the proud in your life? What is David talking about? Who are the proud? The proud are the people. The proud are the situations. The proud are the ideas. The proud are what you read that distract your view from the living God. That's the proud. Because what it says, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. What are lies? Lies are things that are contrary to the word of God. Lies are more than just a spoken, you know, I can tell you right now it's 10 o'clock at night, and that would be a lie. But it's more than that. You know, the lies of the world, the lies, again, that will take our focus off of the God, away from the word of God to somewhere else. Read the first 8 chapters of Proverbs, and it talks about the two women and the contrast between the two women. There's one woman is good, the other woman is bad. One woman wants to lead to wisdom, the other wants to lead to destruction. So we have a result of God's grace. David also realized in verse 5 the magnitude of the blessing of God. Boy, that one really made me stop for a while. Many, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works. One of my life verses, as many of you know, is Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Isn't it indicative of each of us to sing the same new song daily. Many a word, my God, are your wonderful works. Just think for a second about the wonderful works that God has given you in your life. Not the things you necessarily wanted, not things you feel you necessarily deserve, but just think for a second. Just let your mind go and think the benefits of God. We're alive. He's given us salvation. He's given us all a measure of health. Some of us have less measure than others, but we still can honor and respect God. I look around, you know, and I see, you know, kids growing up. What a blessing it is to have a group of kids at SBC that we could interact with and harass a little bit. And I'm not going to talk about how many wrappers of chocolate candy that one person in my class had, and I asked him, where'd these all come from? And he deflected it to the person sitting next to him. Thanks, Austin. Which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. How many thoughts has God provided toward you? Well, it says here, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. Wow, they're innumerable. God's thoughts towards someone like one of us, any of us, all of us in this room. Yeah, it reminds me, you know, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And if you stop and think about them, you might be surprised. You know, worship is and these things are sitting down quietly with God a lot of times and just thinking about the marvelous gift of his son and the marvelous work that God, by his grace, has done in our lives. David also realized, I think, what real worship is. Yeah, the grace of realizing what worship is. It says, and this is a repeated thought in others. It was in Psalm 51, I remember just off the top of my head, where it says, sacrifice and offering you do not desire. All those millions upon millions upon millions of goats, doves, whatever, sacrificed. God didn't want that. You know what God wanted? He wanted hearts. He wanted hearts that did remember his blessings. God wants hearts that do cry out to God. And you know, crying could be, it's not just one kind of cry. It could be a cry of joy. Have you ever had a cry of joy? I have. Have you ever had a cry when you're in immense sorrow and you're shaking your fist at God and you're saying, why, God? I have. And many of you have. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Oh, isn't that beautiful? God opened the ears of David. He opened them. So not only did he raise him up out of the miry clay, not only did he set his feet, not only did he establish him, God opened his ears. And he goes on to say, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Wow. Wow. But David realized this, worship right now is fresh surrender to God, is it not? Worship right now is the song of my heart. Then I said, behold, I come, and the scroll of the book is written of me. In the scroll of the book is written of us. God knows who we are, does he not? And in that scroll, it so thrilled David as a realization of who God was and that there was a personal relationship with him. Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written in me. And then what? I delight to do your will, O my God. How powerful is that? In my life, again, a repeat of something earlier, I'm more willing to do my will than God's will. It's more fun, I think. It brings more pleasure for the moment, does it not? But we live in a world who has negated the truth of the Word of God. We live in a world that is so full of lies, they have to tell lies to make up for the lies they've already given. This has been the way it's been since the creation. Satan is the author of lies. If it doesn't conform to the Word of God, it's not true. It's not true. So when we hear, we need to be always on guard to hear what the world is saying. Some of it is true. But, you know, remember when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, he used Scripture, didn't he? But he distorted the meaning of what was being said. It was a lie. He used something that was true for a lie. And so you and I, as we look out into the world, which is much more complicated, it seems, by day, but the message, there's two messages that have never changed since the creation of God: His Word and the lie. So as we face the issues of our life, as we have our minds and our hearts into the Word of God and understanding as much as we can, and praying that the grace of God by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, that our eyes could be opened even more today than they were yesterday. Tomorrow, I'm going to see my ophthalmologist. All right? We all know the drill. And we're going to go sit there, and he's going to examine my eyes to see if he can make me see better. Well, there's some things I don't know that I want to see better, but I want to see good. No, I do. I want to see better. And so he'll hopefully not change my prescription, because that's going to cost me money, and that's not something I want to do. But if he says, oh, your eye has gone from 20, I think it was 20, 30 last time, if it's gone to 20, 90, you might need to go get your eye changed. So you could see better. But, you know, as good as I can see, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. You know, I put eye drops in my eyes the other night and drove at night, and that's not a good thing to do, because headlights got bigger than they normally are. Even in the best time, we don't see, even people with 20/20, they don't always see clearly, especially when it comes to the things of God, because we need the written word of the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit to be working in us. We need grace, and we need obedience, because then we could do like David did in verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Grace also told David what a godly purpose was in life. Verses 9 and 10. I have proclaimed. See, David just didn't stop having his feet set. David didn't stop by just being established. It changed his life. Did it not? It changed his life. Look at verses 9. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. How did David get this good news of righteousness? From the mind of God. I do not restrain my lips. Oh, isn't that one that we need to be more aware of? You know, how many times am I willing, in, especially when I'm around ungodly people, how many times do I restrain my lips? Yeah, but David says, I have not hidden your righteousness, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I've declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. So he didn't hide. He has declared. He did not conceal. David's life was set on proclaiming the righteousness and the goodness of his God. See, David had a relationship, and the relationship changed his life. To each of us, how much has the relationship with God, that God has so richly given to us, how much has it changed our life to the point where we're willing to talk, no matter what, no matter what the cost? I fail sometimes in this so miserably. In verses 11 and 12, David acknowledged by God's grace who's in control. Yeah. Listen to David. do not withhold your tender mercies from me. How did David know where tender mercies came from? Well, he had a relationship. He knew from his experience that God is the author of tender mercies. God has given each person in here mercy. He gave you something you clearly didn't deserve. You deserve much different, but not just his mercies, but his tender mercies. Oh my. Then he says, let your loving kindness, look how these two words have concatenated and put together, love and kindness. Yeah, one word in English couldn't do it. They had to put two words together, love and kindness, your loving kindness, your truth, what? They preserve me. Again, it's that relational concept that David had in his mind that God was in control. And God's character, God's loving kindness, his truth, his mercies, that is what preserved him. He said, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. David had people who wanted to kill him. You know, when we think of evils, we think of much different things. But David actually had people who wanted to take his life. At one time, his son wanted to take his life. David had much more of a clear idea of innumerable evils. Ours are much different, aren't they? There's no one in Lawrence, I don't think, who set out to kill me today, to throw a spear at me that I have to run and hide from. But at the same time, there's things in my community, there's things in my house even, perhaps, that are an enemy of myself, and I should be relying on God more than on what I think is right or wrong. And then he says, it's such a beautiful picture of repentance and sorrow. My iniquities have overtaken me, so I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. What a beautiful picture of David's heart as he realized who was really in control of his life. He had confidence in God in verses 13 to 15. What grace it is it not? What grace it is to have the knowledge that we could have confidence, we could have trust in a God who never fails. Be pleased, it says, O Lord, to deliver me, or to take me out, not necessarily the miry pit, or I might be in a miry pit as a believer. I think I've been in miry pits as a believer. It's not just unbelievers who, you know, the picture of God saving something out of the muck, but sometimes God has to pull me out of the muck of my life as well, doesn't he? Please, O Lord, deliver me. Make haste to help me. Yeah, confidence, wasn't it? It was confidence. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded. Yeah. What this is telling me, it should tell all of us that we can't do it on our own, can we? We can't do it. David realized that. He knew there was people after him, and they were after his life. But David knew that he could go to his God and ask for deliverance. You and I can too. Even today, even as a saved person, sometimes I need to be delivered out of situations. Sometimes I need to be delivered out of a thought, a word. You know, out of my heart comes out all kinds of funny things sometimes. I need deliverance to have a God that I could go to that says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The perfect culmination in this psalm of grace is the realization of David of worship. Of worship. A fresh heart, a heart that is just ripe and bursting with a desire to let it all out in the sense of how great and how magnificent his God is and will be because of the evidence of things he's seen in the past. He said, let all those who seek you, and I'm assuming that's all of us, let all of those who seek you rejoice. Be glad, to be happy. Let such as love your salvation, say continually, the Lord be magnified. How is the Lord magnified in my life? How is the Lord magnified? Can we be bold enough? We have a God who spoke and everything was created, a God who walked on water. Who are we to think that we might be able to magnify the Lord? The Lord be magnified. See, it's not us. It's who he is, isn't it? We can magnify the Lord. We can magnify the Lord by the new song that's written in our heart. We could magnify the Lord by the condition of our heart. The Lord is magnified by his very essence. That's who he is. He is a magnificent God. He's a God that's more magnificent than any of us could even conjure up in our mind. I think when we see him face to face, if our minds could be blown, they'll be blown, all right? I don't know what my mind will be like. It's got to be better than it is now. But to see him, especially the first time, to see him in his total magnificence, to see him in his total glory, to see him more, and the thrill of spending an eternity with a God that I'll never comprehend completely. But David also realized, verse 17, that I am poor and needy. Isn't it good? The humility that David had to realize that he had not arrived yet. The realization of David that, oh, there's a way to go in my life yet. I am poor and needy. Yet, he says, the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help, and you are my deliverer. Do not delay, O God. Isn't that beautiful? My prayer today for me is that God would be magnified. And as we look at this, you know, look at this. Look at the results. And one or two are not on here because for some reason I copied the wrong version of my PowerPoint. One or two that are missing, but look at the results in the grace of God in the life of believers. We could have a new song by his grace. We could have the grace of the blessing of being able to know that we could trust our God. We have the grace because we could begin to understand the magnitude of a God that is beyond our comprehension. We have the grace of God who has moved in our life and given us a realization of what real worship is. We have the grace of God that we know we can have confidence in knowing what a godly purpose of proclaiming his goodness is. We have the grace of God in acknowledging who is in control and the grace that gives us confidence before God. And by his grace, we could worship him. We could worship him. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for your written word. Father, as we could read about a man who lived 3,000 or so years ago, give or take, I don't know how long it was. It was a long time ago. And what confidence that I have in knowing that there was a man that, of David's stature who failed. A man like David, Father, who failed miserably. He murdered. He was an adulterer. He was a liar. He was a thief. But Father, you changed his life somehow. Father, he cried out to you. And numerous times in Scripture, Father, we read the psalmist crying out for help. And Father, when there's a sincere cry for help, your grace is greater than whatever our situation is. And Father, there's results of grace, Father. They're innumerable, and we just have a list of some here. Father, the list could be expanded. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace. Father, it's by grace through faith that we're saved. Father, it says in your word that your grace is sufficient for us. And Father, we praise you for that. Let it be more real to us today. Father, your grace, let it be more real to us today. than it was yesterday. Father, let us, Father, as we walk out of here, as we face different situations in our life, we all have different situations. Help us to remember, Father, and I know it's hard. It's hard in my life to realize that you are in control. And Father, oh Father, you work for good in my life by your definition. Father, let us have confidence. Let us, Father, let a new song be coming out of our heart moment by moment in the day as we walk and hopefully as we worship you in a way that gives a sweet aroma to you. We praise you today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. We pray. Amen.